The title of this sermon is Three Forgotten Realities of Spiritual Growth. Three Forgotten Realities of Spiritual Growth. The Bible says that we're all sinners. You can turn to your neighbor and say, you're a sinner. You don't often get an opportunity to do that. You just missed it, a lot of you. We're all sinners, the Bible says. And the Bible says that the just penalty for sin, the just payment for sin, the price we have to pay for sin, is an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Now, you might not think that that's just or fair, but it's a good thing you're not the judge of the universe, because you're not God. God has said that's sin, and that's sin's consequences. And that's what we deserve because of our sin. But the Bible doesn't just leave it there. God doesn't just leave us in that place of despair. God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for our sins on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And now the Bible says that we can be forgiven of our sins. Amen? And we can have eternal life if we'll put our trust in Jesus, if we'll turn from our sins and we'll put our trust in Jesus as our Savior and King, as the payment for our sins, as our ticket to heaven, we can be forgiven. Now, the moment you decide to do that, that's when you begin the Christian life. You don't begin the Christian life when you're born just because you have Christian parents. You don't begin the Christian life when you were christened, if you were a baby and christened, or baptized as a baby. It doesn't happen that way. You begin the Christian life the moment that you decide, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and King. He is my payment. He's my ticket to heaven. That moment you get saved. The Bible calls it being born again. That moment Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. So he puts the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And then he seals you with the Holy Spirit, it says in the book of Ephesians, which means the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go. He comes to live in you permanently. No matter how many times you sin or what you do, if you're a Christian, you're saved, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he's in there. And what's he doing? He's sanctifying us. He's sanctifying. That means he's gradually growing us in righteousness. And you're going to be in this process of sanctification, of spiritual growth. That's just a synonym for sanctification, spiritual growth, for your whole life. Until you go to heaven, then you'll be free from sin. But your whole life, you're in this process of sanctification. Now, if you're a Christian, if you're truly saved and truly born again, then I don't have to motivate you to grow. I don't have to stand up here. That's the wonderful thing about being a pastor. If you're truly saved, you want to grow, because the Bible says in Philippians 2:13 that the Holy Spirit is living in you and he's giving you the will, the desire, and the power to obey God, to do what pleases God. So the Holy Spirit is already motivating you, if you're a Christian, to grow. This morning, though, what I want to do is I want to teach you or remind you of three forgotten realities of spiritual growth. Because one of the things that I know, and if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, is that the process of spiritual growth can be discouraging at times. It can be tempting to slack off and to give up, because it's a hard process. Spiritual growth is not easy. So we're going to learn some forgotten realities of spiritual growth in Mark 4. In my Bible, it calls this the parable of the growing seed. Another parable. In this section of Mark, this chapter, Jesus launches into a bunch of parables. Now, believe it or not, Mark has the fewest parables of all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this is the section where you're going to find a bunch of parables. So picking up in verse 26, Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Let's break this down and look, first of all, what are the different components of this parable? What do they stand for? First of all, what's Jesus talking about in this parable? What's the subject of the parable? Well, the subject is the kingdom of God. In verse 26, he starts out by saying, the kingdom of God is like the kingdom of God. And so he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he's talking about the kingdom of God growing, the growth of the kingdom of God. And he says that a farmer goes out and he scatters seed. So who does the farmer represent? Obviously, surprisingly, the farmer represents you and me. The farmer represents somebody who's trying to grow something. You and I, We're trying to grow something. We're trying to grow spiritually. We're trying to grow our spiritual maturity. So the farmer represents us. Now, what is the seed? The seed that the farmer, that we're planting, is the Word of God. We're planting the Word of God in our hearts. Look at verses 27 through 28. It says, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. So the seed is planted and the crop grows. What does the growing crop represent? It represents the growth of the kingdom of God, or spiritual growth. The growing crop represents spiritual growth. What about the earth? What does the earth represent in this parable? It says the earth produces the crops on its own. The earth is what represents God in this passage, in this parable. Now, the earth is not God, but in this parable, that's what the earth represents. Specifically, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the one who actually grows us. And then the harvest. Verse 29, and as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. What does the harvest represent? The harvest simply represents spiritual maturity, the place that God is trying to bring us. Now, again, you never arrive at a place of complete spiritual maturity, but when he talks about a harvest here, he's talking about arriving at a place of spiritual maturity, not spiritual perfection, but spiritual maturity. There's growth, and then there's a place of maturity. So when you put all this together, here's the big idea. Spiritual growth, this is a long statement, we're going to unpack this. Spiritual growth is kingdom growth. It is caused by God, and it can take a long time. But if you continue to plant God's word in your life, you will grow to maturity. Spiritual growth is kingdom growth. It's caused by God. It can take a long time, but if you continue to plant God's word in your life, you will grow. You will grow eventually. Let's break these down into three forgotten realities. Number one, spiritual growth is kingdom growth. Spiritual growth is kingdom growth. Remember that this parable is all about the kingdom of God, specifically the kingdom of God growing. The seed represents the word of God. The growing crop represents spiritual growth. But remember, this parable is about the kingdom of God. So it's about the kingdom of God growing. Now, what I want to point out to you, which is a forgotten reality of spiritual growth, is that spiritual growth is the growth of the kingdom of God within you. That what Jesus is trying to grow in your life is the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus talked way more about the kingdom of God than we do. We need to talk about the kingdom of God a lot more. The Christian life is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. It's wherever Jesus rules with supreme authority. It's wherever Jesus is fully glorified and obeyed. Let me give you just a little bit more information about the kingdom of God before we move on. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God more in depth in home group this week. We've got a whole bunch of passages that we're going to look up, small passages that kind of give us an overview. But the kingdom of God can best be understood as both a present reality and a future hope. When you think of the kingdom of God, it's a present reality. It's here and now and not yet. It's now and not yet. It's a present reality and a future hope. Now, the kingdom of God, it was inaugurated at Jesus' first coming. It will be consummated at Jesus' second coming. It was inaugurated at Jesus' first coming. In other words, the kingdom of God started when Jesus first came to earth, the first time. That's when the kingdom of God started. And the kingdom of God has been advancing and expanding since then. And the kingdom of God right now, in its present form, exists as a spiritual, invisible kingdom wherever Jesus is in charge. So the moment you become a Christian, Jesus takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, the control of Satan, and he puts you in the kingdom of his Son. So if you're a Christian, you are in the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you. It's the rule, the reign of Jesus Christ. However, even though the kingdom of God has been inaugurated, it started, it's not completely here yet. Because if you look around at planet Earth, Is Jesus completely in charge? Is he having his way? If you even look at your life, has the kingdom of God been completed in your life? Is it complete? Is it completely consummated in your life? Are there still parts of your life that you're struggling to bring under the full control and authority of Jesus? So if you think about even your own life, that's why in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy, the first thing we're to ask God for is your kingdom come. Now, we're not talking about necessarily heaven. Can you come back the second time, Lord? Make your second coming happen right now. That's part of it, but also it's essentially and primarily, may your kingdom come into my life and expand. May your rule, may your authority expand in my life right now. But again, the kingdom of God is present, but it's not complete. It's been inaugurated, but it's not been consummated. Look at all the unbelievers that you know who are living in outright rebellion to the King of Kings. You're either for Jesus or you're against him. Even if they don't mean to be at war with Jesus, since they haven't surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, they are at war and rebellion against Jesus Christ. And then even nature itself, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the fall, all of creation came under a curse. And all of the rhythm and the grace that was in creation in its original form was lost. And so even nature itself has been cursed, and it's not completely under God's rule. But one day, Jesus is going to come back. And it could happen any day, and it can happen any time. We all have to be ready. And when Jesus comes back, that's when he's going to consummate the kingdom of God. He's going to destroy his enemies. He's going to judge the living and the dead. All those who believe in Jesus will be forgiven and will spend eternity in heaven. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ will be sent to hell for eternity along with the devil and his demons. And Jesus then is going to destroy heaven and earth and create a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be free from the curse of sin. That's when the kingdom of God is going to be consummated, completed, if you will. So the kingdom of God is a present reality, and it's a future hope. It's now, and it's not yet. So God is on a mission right now, and that mission is to grow his kingdom, to expand, to extend, to advance his kingdom, the rule and the supremacy and the preeminence of Jesus Christ in every heart and every sector of society. That's what God is on a mission to do. And so this parable reminds us that that's what spiritual growth is about. Spiritual growth is not just about, or the Christian life is not just about believing in Jesus so you can go to heaven. God is on a mission to bring every part of your life under the complete control of Jesus Christ, to grow the kingdom of God within you and around you and through you. So if you want to grow spiritually, focus on bringing every area of your life under the complete authority of Jesus Christ. That's what spiritual growth is all about. It's about the growth of the kingdom of God in your life. Now, this is important because a lot of times we use the wrong measurements for spiritual growth. A lot of times we think that we're spiritually mature if we have perfect church attendance. Or we think we're spiritually mature if we're more active in church than somebody else. Well, I go on Sundays and home group, and you just go on Sundays, so I'm way better than you. Or we think spiritual maturity is reading the Bible more than other people. Or we think we're spiritual mature if we have more Bible knowledge. If you're like a walking Bible encyclopedia, you got all the answers. Well, you're obviously more mature than everybody else. It's a wrong measurement. Sometimes we think we're spiritually mature because of who our friends and relatives are. My dad's the pastor. My mom's the CA Kids director. My dad knows Billy Graham personally, so I'm pretty much up there spiritually. Or sometimes we think we're spiritually mature because of our position in church. I'm the pastor, so that outranks all of you guys in spiritual maturity. Or I serve on the lead team. Or I serve in CA Kids, so I'm really mature. It takes a lot of maturity to want to volunteer in CA Kids. Or I'm a home group director. These are all wrong measurements of spiritual growth, but it does happen. We tend to measure spiritual growth incorrectly. Spiritual growth is about kingdom growth. It's about the supremacy of Jesus and the preeminence of Christ in your life. It's about Jesus growing in authority in your life. Is Jesus completely in charge of every part of your life? Every part. We went over the T's of obedience last week. We talked about your temple, your treasure, your time, your talents, your, I can't think of any more, but all the T's of obedience. And is Jesus supreme and ruling and in authority in all the areas of your life? That's spiritual growth. Don't forget that. Number two, the second forgotten reality is that spiritual growth is caused by God. It's caused by God. Let's go back to the text, verse 26. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own." So the farmer wants to grow something. Who does the farmer represent again? It's you and me. We're trying to grow something. We're trying to grow a crop of spiritual maturity. We're trying to grow the kingdom of God within ourselves. We want to grow in Christ. We have that desire in us as Christians. However, the farmer can't grow anything. Only God can cause the growth. Only God can cause the growth. Now, the earth, again, represents God. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who grows us. You cannot force growth. You cannot push growth. You cannot speed up growth any faster than God wants you to grow. Growth is caused by God. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 is where we find the fruit of the Spirit. It says, the fruit of the Spirit, these are Christ-like virtues that Jesus is trying to produce in your life. This is what kingdom growth in your life looks like. It looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But they're called the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, they're the product of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who produces spiritual growth in our lives. We don't do it. He does it. In John 15, where Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in me or abide in me and you'll produce much fruit." What Jesus is saying is that our job is not to produce fruit. Our job is to abide in Christ or to stay close to Christ, to remain in him. In other words, Jesus says, "I'm going to produce the fruit for you. You just got to stay connected. Stay connected and fruit happens." Your job is not to produce fruit. Your job is to stay connected. Stay close and fruit will happen. So we're reminded in all these places and in this parable that we can't cause the growth. The Holy Spirit is the one who grows us. And so what does this mean for us? Why is this important? Well, some Christians take this the wrong way. They say, well, if I can't force growth, if I can't cause myself to grow, then what some Christians do is they take a completely passive approach to spiritual growth. And they say, well, it's all in God's hands. You know, I can't force growth. He's the one who grows us. And so they sit back and say, I don't have to do anything. But that's not the case. Just because you can't cause the growth doesn't mean that you don't do anything. Think about a farmer. A farmer cannot cause the miracle of growth. But does that mean a farmer does nothing? There's a lot of things that a farmer does. A farmer, first of all, plants the seed. And in modern day farming, farmers are very busy. And they're watering and they're doing all, making these nice rows, and they're adding pesticide and herbicide and all these different things. They're praying, "God, please let it rain, let the crop grow, let us have a good harvest this year." Farmers are doing a lot of things. They're not causing the growth, but they are creating ideal conditions for growth. And so this is an important truth that you don't cause the growth. So what that means is you have to depend on God. The way you depend on God is by creating ideal conditions for growth so that he can grow you. How do you do that? How do you create those ideal conditions for growth? Well, this goes back to the spiritual disciplines that we're always talking about, the spiritual growth habits. Going to church on Sunday, getting involved in fellowship like a home group where you're in close relationship with other believers, getting in the Word on a daily basis and praying and tithing, these are spiritual disciplines. When you practice these spiritual disciplines, what you're doing is you're creating an ideal condition, optimal conditions for God to grow you. That's how you depend on God. There's this old statement that people make, super spiritual people, they say, well, just let go and let God. Well, you just need to depend on God. Just depend on God. What does that mean? How do you depend on God? Does that mean you just don't do anything? No. What that means is when you go to church on Sundays and make that a priority in your life, when you practice all these spiritual disciplines, what you're doing is you're depending on God. You're putting yourself in a position for God to grow you. You're creating optimal conditions for God to grow you. You can't grow yourself. What you've got to do is put yourself in a position for God to grow you. Now, number three, the third reality of spiritual growth is that spiritual growth can take a long time. Spiritual growth can take a long time. Verses 28 through 29, it says, the earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. Finally. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Now notice that Jesus points out the different stages of growth. He says, first, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens, and eventually the grain is ready for harvest. Now, this parable, Jesus is talking about growing wheat, which is where we get bread. Now, I did some research. Do you know how long it takes to grow wheat? It takes about 10 months from the time of sowing and reaping. 10 months from between the time of planting and harvest. So if you plant in August, you can harvest in May. That's a long time. It's almost a whole year it takes to grow some wheat. And what I think the point that Jesus is making here is that spiritual growth is a long process. It's a slow process. And the reason why that's important is because spiritual growth happens so slowly sometimes that it can become almost invisible. Spiritual growth in your life can happen so slowly sometimes that it almost seems like it's not happening. Have you ever sat outside and tried to watch the grass grow? Now, you can see your grass grow in August. In Louisiana, you can just stand there and watch it grow. It's going to happen. But most of the time during the year, you have to wait a week or two before you notice, wow, it's really grown. But if you just try to sit there and watch it grow, you're not going to see anything because it happens so slowly, it's almost invisible to the human eye. It's the same way with spiritual growth. And because it happens so slowly, it almost seems invisible. It almost seems like you're not growing. And therefore, because it almost seems like you're not growing, it's tempting just to give up. You're thinking, man, I've been reading my Bible every day just like the pastor told me to. I've been praying every day. I've been going to church every Sunday. I used to go fishing and play golf, but I've been going to church every week. I even made time for a home group. I've been serving. I've been tithing. And I just don't see myself growing. Anybody? Anybody been in that position before? Anybody ever had a particular besetting sin and you just couldn't seem to lick it? It lingered and lingered, and you prayed harder and harder. You said, I know what I'm going to do. He talked about fasting. I'm going to fast. And you fasted, and you're still the same jerk that you're trying not to be. You know, you still got that same attitude that you're like, I know I shouldn't have that attitude. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to treat my spouse that way. I don't want to act like that with my kids. I keep doing it. I keep at work. I'm still the jerk that I don't want to be. It's very tempting at that point just to say, I give up. I've been trying so hard and for so long to create these optimal conditions for God to grow me. I just don't see any results. And that's what Jesus is saying, is that spiritual growth is not fast. It's not fast. It's slow. It takes a long time. Such a long time that in a lot of situations, in a lot of parts of your life, you won't even notice yourself grow. But the promise of this parable is that just like the farmer, as you keep planting the seeds of God's word in your life, you keep planting the seeds, and eventually you will grow. Growth will happen. But you can't give up. You can't stop planting. It's going to happen in your life. You're going to grow. Whatever it is you're wrestling with, whatever addiction, whatever sin, whatever bad attitude that you can't seem to lick, you will grow. That particular area of your life that God keeps convicting you, and you're like, I know I shouldn't act like that. I know that's not who God wants me to be. I know that's not how God wants me to act. And I'm trying to change, and I just can't. Remember, you can't cause growth. It's caused by God, and it's slow. You're like, maybe I heard the church down the road is having a healing service. Maybe I can go to the healing service and have some hands laid on me, and maybe they'll just zap me. And then I just won't be impatient anymore. I won't have a bad temper anymore. Try it. You know, more power to you. There is power in prayer. But usually spiritual growth takes a long time. Now, I can tell you this from experience, because I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been following Jesus with all my heart since I was probably in fifth grade, the summer after fifth grade. Really been loving Jesus, seeking the Lord, enjoying God. And I can tell you that I've gone through seasons of my life where there are parts of my life that I just knew were out of God's will. And I didn't like myself. I didn't like that part of myself. I didn't like that particular attitude that I had. I knew it was wrong. I kept acting out in this way. I struggled with this particular addiction or that addiction. And I love God, but I still struggled with sin. And I would try to change, and I would pray so hard, and nothing. And there were times when I said, God, you don't like this behavior in my life. I don't like this behavior in my life. I'm asking you to change me. What gives? And I got to points in my life where I said, I don't know if I'll ever change. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Of course, there is. There's something wrong with all of us. Sin. But sure enough, I kept with it. By God's grace, I kept planting the seeds of God's word in my heart. I kept going to church. I kept serving God, seeking God. And when I messed up, I said, I'm sorry, I blew it again. And sure enough, over time, God has changed me one thing after another. And I could give you a whole list of things that he's in the process of changing in my life right now. There are things in my life that God has changed in my character, in my personality, in my attitude, habits that I knew I needed to start, but I just couldn't be consistent, bad habits that I couldn't stop, I couldn't stop them. God has changed me in so many ways that at times in my life I thought, I'll never change. I just could not imagine that I'd ever be able to change because I tried so hard. But I kept planting his word in my life. I stayed with God. I stayed with Christ, and he grew me. And I guarantee you, he will change you. He will grow you to make you more like Jesus. He will grow the kingdom of God in your life. You just got to stick with it and be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with God. And that reminds me, let's be patient with each other. Growth takes a long time. Let's be patient with each other as God grows us. Amen? Three forgotten realities of spiritual growth.